You are listening to a live broadcast from Faith Worship Center in Portia, Arkansas.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. I want to say, Brother Jeff Graham, this praise and worship, he was right on this morning about the faithfulness of God. Some services we will talk about and we will say, you know, it was that was a tough service. As praise and worship, trying to press through as ministers, trying to preach and teach. Well, it was just a tough service. It was just for whatever reason, some services just flow and they go a lot easier than others. But nevertheless, we work through it. We trust in the truth of God's word to do the work that he sent it to do, because God's word will not return void. Amen. And so been a little bit, I would say, of a tough service this morning, but I believe that that's for a reason. I think that even in the tough times, God can do a great work. Amen. And so I ask for you to open our ear. I want to forewarn you, if you've never been here, or even if you have been here, I'm going to be a little raw this morning. Not mean or mad, but a little blunt and a little plain, just because I think it's necessary sometimes for the preacher to be just plain. There's no need any of us acting like we got it all together this morning. Amen. Amen. Everybody need a little help, and everybody experiences life in itself. And so I'm going to be a little raw, but I hope to encourage you through the text this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start in verse number 6 and read down to verse number 10. The Apostle Paul wrote here, it's his writing, his words. He said, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man," watch this, "should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." We see the humility of the Apostle Paul here in verse number 6 and verse number 7, but we also see the reason, because of the thorn in the flesh that he had had. Verse number 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I'm going to start being a little blunt by just saying this in verse number 10. I'm reading about the apostle saying that I'm going to take pleasure in my infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions. When I read this, I can honestly tell you this morning, I'm not there yet. I don't get great joy in my persecutions. Amen. I'm just not there yet. But the apostle Paul challenged me with that statement. But these five scriptures here as a whole, maybe a little different than what I would normally do, but I want to use this for a subject this morning and talk to you very plainly. When life becomes too much. When life becomes too much. Man, I feel that this morning. When life becomes too much. Will you bow and will you help me pray? Father, I love you this morning, and I thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy and love. I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, for you orchestrating the songs, the praise and worship, Lord, and reminding us of how faithful that you are. I pray this morning that you would help me, God, to preach and to teach. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. And Lord, I'm asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to help me to rightly divide this great word of truth. The task that's before me is greater than what I am, but I know, God, with your help, Lord, that it will accomplish, Lord, what you send it to accomplish. Lord, we ask it, and we're very careful to give you the praise, the glory, and honor, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus, and everybody says, amen. One of the great responsibilities, and I've got preachers in here this morning, teachers coming up, youth leaders, I want you to you, not that I don't want all of you, but I want you to especially pay attention to this statement. But one of the great responsibilities of a pastor shared by the Lord, it's shared by God to the teacher and to the preacher also, is to continue to assure. I want you to think about that. Continue to assure the believer that our faith is correct by having our faith in Christ and what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary. To build confidence in the heart about the things of God. And it's something, as a preacher, as a pastor, as a teacher, that we don't never need to apologize for, though I have in the past. It is our responsibility to continue to assure the believer that Jesus Christ is the way, and that faith in Christ and what He has accomplished on the cross of Calvary is the only faith that God will recognize, the only faith that God will honor. When the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the church there at Colossae, he wrote concerning these things because of all of the different voices and things that was coming into that region. They didn't really know what to believe because there was so many different messages and so many different opinions, and that's where the church or the world is at today. There's so many messages and so many different opinions that to the person that is never raised in the proper foundation, they're not sure what to believe. I mean, who's right and who's wrong and who's got it together and who's way off course? That's the questions that the world is asking today. And when the Apostle Paul wrote that letter to the church at Colossae and handed it to the pastor to deliver it to them, he said, you need to tell them that what they're believing is right. They need to keep their faith in Jesus and what He's done on the cross of Calvary. They need to remember that they were justified by their faith in Christ and what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary. They need to remember that as they have received Christ Jesus the Lord, they need to walk in Him that way. They need to know that they've not went in error, that Judaism is not right, that mysticism is not right, that word of faith is not right, that 12 steps is not right. They need to know that faith in Christ and what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary is the right faith, the proper faith, and the only faith that God will honor. And when Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, I got to bring this to you, and I'll jump right back to where I want to be. He says, watch this. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among for your sake. Now, I want to be very careful this morning, but I want to bring this plain because I'm trying to make a point that there's a lot of churches that you will see or experience power, a lot of churches that you will see and experience the Holy Ghost, but very few churches are you going to hear the truth that's going to allow you to leave with the assurance that this faith is right. That's good preaching. Very few. Because I don't mean this unkind. I want to have a great time in the Lord just like you do in church. I want to be in the presence of the Holy Ghost. I want to lay my hands on people as they're being broken under the power of God. I want to see these little children that are broken and worshiping the Lord. I want to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see people healed. But I want you to know, if you're not leaving with the assurance that the Holy Spirit is working in your life Monday through Saturday, those things are not going to help you walk with the Lord. We've got to have all of it, the power, the Holy Ghost, and the assurance. And the Apostle Paul is doing that. And I bring this out for a reason, for a purpose. The assurance here is the confidence. Because we don't always feel the Lord as we desire. Amen? It's because of the assurance. That's why the truth is so important. The truth is an anchor to us. I may not feel the Lord, but I know that God is with me. And I know that God is with me because the Bible tells me so. And I believe the Bible. Come on, it's tougher than what I thought this morning. But I have that assurance of the truth because of what the Bible says. Now let me be a little bit raw this morning and start out right here. Even though you have that assurance, even though you know about the working of grace, Even though you know how to walk in the Spirit and let God change you, even though you can connect all the dots and cross all the T's and you got all the diplomas and got all of the titles in front of your name, you need to understand this morning, none of those things will stop the very enemy of your soul making you or trying to make you doubt what you already know. It doesn't stop the devil from trying to make you doubt what you already know. That's why I love the song this morning, Tell Me a Time. Just tell me a time that He's not been faithful. Tell me a time His mercies were not new. But the enemy of our soul tries to make us doubt. He tries to build up doubt in our heart and make us question the things of God. I'm going to continue being a little bit raw this morning, and I'm going to prove that point to you. We know the Scripture says God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. But what about the mom and dad praying for their son or daughter to be saved, and they've been praying that prayer for years, and they're still not saved? Amen? We know the Scripture says that God can heal every sickness and every manner of disease, but what about those that's been making a trip to the prayer line, and we laying our hands upon them asking God to heal, and it's been a long time coming, and they're still not healed? And God's building doubt. We know that God can deliver, and we preach it and we teach it. But what about those that are still bound? These are opportunities that the enemy is building up doubt and unbelief in their heart. We know He's a miracle worker, but what about that family that's believing God for a miracle, but they haven't received it yet? Amen? John the Baptist watched as Jesus come down to the Jordan River. He was the one that would announce, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." They didn't have no idea who He was until He announced Him. And then He says this, "There's one that is standing amongst you whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bend down and unloose. This is Him." He told His disciples, and His two of them began to follow Him immediately. But when He was in the prison and they said, "We're coming for your head," He sent some men to ask Jesus, "Go ask Him, is He really the one, or should I look for another one?" Man, it's quiet. Go ahead and drop that pen. I bet we can hear it drop. I'm telling you, a man that was anointed and called his destination for life to usher in Jesus Christ came to a place that He said, "Just go ask Him one more time." When life gets too much, we know deep down in our heart God can. We shout about the mighty works of God. We shout about the mighty miracles. We shout about David taking the head of Goliath. We shout about all of these things that we have read about. But when it's us that's facing Goliath in the middle of the valley, and I must be preaching real good this morning, when I have to believe God for it. See, I can believe God to do it for you, but when I got to believe God to do it for me. Amen. There we go. There's my amen corner. If I have to believe God to do it for myself, then when the target's on my back, in the natural, in a moment, if we are honest, life can just be, and I pray you're honest. I better leave myself here and not include you, but there's been moments. As a preacher, as a pastor, I'm thankful for my relationship with the Lord. I'm not near as far along as what some are in their relationship with Christ. I'm still just a baby in Christ. I'm still learning. But here's one thing I've learned. I talk to the Lord and He talks back to me. I love my time with the Lord. I love those individual visitations that I have with the Holy Spirit. And I love how that God continues to confirm and give me that assurance. But I'd be lying to you this morning if I would tell you that the thought has not come through my mind that life is just too much sometimes. I sat and talked with Sister Beverly. What do you say? Last night, besides God, give her truth, God's strength is still sufficient. I don't know what God's doing, but I know that His strength is still sufficient.
Words seem so inadequate in times like this and moments like this, but you know, when we recall the Scriptures, even if we look at it in the natural and we're looking at it as life is just too much, well, of course the enemy tells us, if I am the one that's having to believe God for it and God hasn't done it like I wanted Him to do it, well, automatically it's God's fault. It's God's fault that I'm going through this, that I'm dealing with this. But I want to take you to the testimony to the Apostle Paul, and I hope to encourage you. I don't feel like I've sounded very encouraging so far, but I hope I've been real in hopes to encourage. Listen, you know, there's moments, there's times, if we're going to really be where we need to be for the Holy Spirit to work in our heart, we need to be real and we need to be honest. I know some of my Word of Faith friends would say, you've made a bunch of bad confessions, you don't need to say that. Well, listen, I really don't think God don't already know what I'm thinking. Amen? And so we need to be real and we need to be honest. But I want to take you to the testimony of the Apostle Paul very quickly in hopes to encourage you. Saul had set his life out to uphold the law and to destroy the Christian, to destroy the Christian faith as a whole and everybody that was included in that, everybody that claimed to be a believer. He was headed for the highest position of the Pharisee in his former life as the man of God, or not the man of God, but as the man from Tarsus named Saul. He was headed for the highest position in authority. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I knew the law. He was quickly advancing in Judaism, which was the religion that they were wanting to uphold. And he was consenting to the death of everyone that claimed to be a believer. His conversion, as recorded in the book of Acts in chapter number 9, it was simply him on his way to Damascus. And while I'm not going to spend any time here because I need to get to where I'm going, but while he was on the road to Damascus, the Lord shined down upon him, blinded him, and told him there that he had called him for a reason. It was them, brethren, that led him into Damascus, and God spoke to Ananias and said, go to Damascus and lay your hands upon Saul, because Saul there, he will find him praying. And when Ananias went and laid his hands upon him, the scales that were over his eyes had been removed. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that immediately, watch this, he went out and began preaching Jesus Christ, the one that was dead, that now is resurrected for the remission of our sins. He was preaching Christ. Now watch this. He started his missionary journeys. He was going into different areas and different countries and different lands, and he was preaching Jesus. But somewhere along the line, he all of a sudden was gone from somewhere between 11 and 14 years. He's out of the picture and he's gone. But during that time, between 11 and 14 years, God the Holy Spirit never left him. And he began to lay out to him the revelation of grace. He didn't just need to preach Jesus Christ, which preaching Christ is, I don't mean that to come across the wrong way. He didn't just need to preach Christ without bringing the understanding of everything that he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. On the day of Pentecost, Peter had the revelation of who Jesus was. He is both Lord and Christ, the one you crucified. He is resurrected and lives forevermore. This is the one that we're preaching. But the Apostle Paul had the revelation of what he actually accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And between 11 and 14 years, he's sitting by himself. He didn't go talk to nobody. He told Peter, he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't want to know your opinion. I didn't want to know your thoughts. I didn't want to know what you wanted me to do. I didn't want to know what somebody else wanted me to do. I stayed in a prayer closet and I said, God, whatever it is you've got for me, let me have it so that I can go out and continue to preach. The Lord called him to the Gentile. The Lord gave him the revelation of grace. The Lord gave him the revelation of the new covenant. And when he went back, he starts saying things like, circumcision is not saving you. It's not saving you. The law was not meant to produce righteousness. And all of these people are looking upon this man that had spent his life laying down. And the Holy Spirit laid out the revelation of what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And that revelation we read about in the book of Romans. Paul was chosen by the Lord to bring the gospel to the Gentiles and to give us the understanding of grace. Now think about that. Paul was singled out to explain to the entirety of the world what grace was. Grace is the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. The moment the believer places their faith in Christ and what He has accomplished on the cross of Calvary, grace is the effectual working of the Holy Spirit to work in me, to lead me, guide me, and direct me into all truth. Grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is the divine influence of the Holy Spirit. It was unmerited favor in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit was limited to what He could do in the life of the believer because Jesus Christ had not yet died on the cross of Calvary. But the moment that He died, now the Holy Spirit becomes the active part of the Trinity of the Godhead to lead us, guide us, and to direct us into all truth. And the Apostle Paul is coming to a Gentile world to tell them this. You want to know how to live for God? Keep your faith in Christ and what He done on the cross of Calvary, and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do in your life. It's the only way that the Holy Spirit will work. Well, let me say this morning. When it comes to living for God, you're going to need some help. And the help that you've been afforded is the help of the Holy Spirit. And let me just be bold and say this. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you can't make it. And He can't help you unless your faith is in Jesus and what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's the one. Watch this. He would come and he would teach the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is living inside of all of you. He come and He taught about grace as the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. He taught us that we were baptized into Christ and the power of the sin nature was broken, baptized into His death. The old man was buried and we were baptized into the resurrection all by faith, raised so that we could walk in the newness of life. The Apostle Paul made the declaration that sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law. You are under grace today. The Apostle Paul told us all of these things, teaching and preaching about the grace of God and teaching and preaching how that the believer could have victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. Listen, he persuaded Peter to say, greater, or John to say, greater is He that is in me than he that is over that is in the world. John even said, what is the victory that overcometh the world? It is our faith. Paul brought all this. Paul brought every bit of this to us. And now, as a man that has given his life and forsaken everything else that he'd ever known just to preach the gospel, to look at this life and to read about him as Saul, and now he is known as Paul, the man is one that honestly, as he would announce himself, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He found God's perfect will for his life. He submitted to that will, and he carried out his days living for the will of God for his own individual life. Now listen, I don't think anybody in here that knows anything about Paul could argue that statement that I just made. We can't argue the fact that Paul was right smack dab in the middle of God's will and that he gave his life to furthering the gospel for Jesus Christ. Amen. With that statement, watch this. This man, Paul, God's chosen. The one that God pulled off in the corner for 11 to 14 years. God's anointed. God's servant. He said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. He refused. He didn't care where he was at. He didn't care what was going on. He would not deny Jesus Christ. This was the man that they were looking at as bringing the revelation of the new covenant. Watch this. And then he found himself praying, God, will you remove this thorn from my flesh? Just remove this thorn from my flesh. This thorn was a messenger of Satan. In other words, he's saying, God, will you just make him let me go so that I can continue to do what you call me to do? And in essence, for a period of time, God was saying, no. Man, I'm preaching good. God was saying no. Because Paul asked him three times. And God said no. And after the third time, he tells him that his grace is sufficient. There's a lot of debate on what is this messenger of Satan. We know it was a hindrance. Some Bible scholars believe it was the struggles of chapter 11 that he talked about. And if it was, I could say it like this, because I also believe that these struggles that he dealt with was part of it. And I'm going to ask her just to try to follow along, but I'm not adding to or taking away, but I want to say it like this because it's important for us to make the Scripture come alive for us. We're talking about the man that is all he's doing, watch this, all he's doing is furthering the gospel. An outsider looking in, why would a man like this not have so much favor on his life? You know, there's a sect of the church today said, I'm blessed and highly favored. But you need to be careful, because God's not a respecter of persons. I'm blessed. I'm not favored above anybody. I won't back up from it. I'm not favored above anybody. God's not a respecter of persons. But here's what the Apostle Paul, caring after the will of God. Watch this. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. I'm going to paraphrase and say it like this. He said, I'm in labors more abundant. So in his prayer, God, could you make things a little easier on me? I'm in stripes above measure. He had been beaten time after time. So God, can you make it to where they'll quit beating me so that I can just keep on preaching the gospel? I'm in prisons more frequent. Lord, if I could stay out of the prison for a little while, if you could just protect me there, I could preach to so many more people if I wasn't spending all of my time in the jail cell. I'm in the face of death more often. God, where's your protecting hand? When I'm scared to death in life and I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, why can't you just protect me so that I don't have to be in the face of death so much? Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. God, can you keep them from beating me so much because I'm weak, and then I have to heal up before I can go on and preach? Once I was stoned, Lord, can you keep them from throwing stones at me? All I'm doing is trying to follow after your will and preach the gospel. I've even been beaten with rods. I've suffered shipwreck. A day and a night, I've been out in the deep. Lord, will you help me? Protect me. Keep your hand up on me. All I'm doing is trying to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on and says this, I've been in journeys often. God, can you make it where I don't have to walk so much? The word perils mean dangers. I've been in dangers of waters. God, can you keep me safe? I've been in dangers of robbers. Lord, keep the robbers away from me. I've been in dangers of my own countrymen. God, my own men, my own brothers. Let me say it like this. The church is even turning their back on me and trying to destroy me, and it's becoming dangerous. God, can you keep them off of my back? I've been in dangers by the heathen. Protect me. Dangers of the city. Protect me in the city. Dangers in the wilderness. I've been in danger outside of the city. In dangers in the sea. In dangers of false brethren. I can't go anywhere. My life is not threatened. Everywhere I turn, I'm in danger. Everywhere I go, my life is suffering. Lord, please, please, please keep your hand up on me. All I'm doing is trying to preach the gospel. All I'm doing is trying to reach another soul. And he gets on, he says, God, in verse 27, I'm tired. I'm in weariness. God, can you just give me strength? I'm still preaching, Lord, but I feel this morning. But it's just so much pain. If you could take the pain away, God, I could be so more much effective preaching the gospel. He says, in watchings often, they keep their eye on me, looking for an opportunity to accuse me and cast me down. God, can you take their eye off of me a little while? God, I've been hungry and I've been thirsty. I'm sure Paul read about how that he fed Elijah. He fed the children in the wilderness. He probably even said, God, if you could feed them, why don't you feed me? I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, and I'm just trying to fulfill your will and preach the gospel for you, because that's what you called me to do. I've been fastings often because he had no choice. God, I've been cold. I'm freezing to death. I've even found myself naked when they stripped me of my clothes. And Paul, everybody sees and looks at the thing that Paul is going. Paul and Silas in the jail cell, they prayed and the jail began to shake and they were loosened. They see where the serpent bit him and he shook it off. They see and we think about all of these times when he casted out the spirit of divinity out of the damsel. We look at all of these times. But have you given any account of how many times the apostle Paul is praying and crying out to God, God, protect me. God, heal me. God, keep me safe. God, feed me. God, give me drink. God, give me warmth. Have we thought about those times that the apostle is pleading to the Lord just so he can keep preaching the gospel? Man, I feel that this morning. It's just, look at this, too much. And here's where I want to be. Paul, the apostle, the teacher, the anointed one, the one in God's will, the one that knows about grace, the one that understands the working of the Holy Spirit, the one teaching grace. Think about what I'm about to say. Even Paul was not exempt from needing the grace of God to flow in his life. He wasn't exempt of needing the grace of God to flow in his life. He learned something, and I'm about done, that we need to learn. There's those moments that we think that it's just too much. Those moments that we think that it's just too hard. There's those moments when we think, I've had a pity party and say, God, all I'm doing is following after you. All I'm doing is preaching. All I'm doing is wanting to see somebody saved. There's those moments when I say, God, if you would just remove this, I could be so much more effective. God, if you would just take this off my mind, I would be so much more clear and I could do so much more for the gospel. There's those moments. Listen, I'm being a little bit open this morning and not intended, but I'm not going to run away from it. There's those moments when I've looked and pleaded with God and I said, God, if you'll just do this, I could be so much more effective. How do I preach when my heart is broke? How do I preach when my world is turned upside down? How do I keep going and pray for somebody for healing when I'm sick myself and needing you to touch? Lord, when I'm needing strength in somebody else, I want you to understand and I want you to know that even though the Apostle Paul was the great teacher of grace, he was not exempt from needing the grace of God to flow in his life also. And unless God put him in a place, where he would say and understand, it's not all about receiving revelations from the Lord, verse 6 and 7. It's not all about preaching. It's not all about being in the jail cell and having the glory of the earth, or the place being shaken and the jail cells coming open. It's not all about that. It's not all about everybody seeing you laying your hands upon somebody and the dead being raised. What it was about, all of these things continued to happen in the Apostle Paul's life because behind the scenes, he was saying, God, they may not know it. And they may not see it, but I need your grace to flow in my life today, or I'm not going to be there tomorrow. And the Lord, when Paul's saying, will you remove it? God said, my grace is sufficient. You've not run into something yet that my grace has not been sufficient for you for. And the Apostle Paul makes that statement that I'm not there yet. Okay. I'll just go ahead and glory in my infirmities. I'll glory when I'm persecuted. God, thank you for this trial. That's what he was doing. Thank you for this trial, God, because grace is flowing. Thank you, God, for this trouble because I'm going to experience grace all over again. I want you to know this morning, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to hush with this. Why are we allowing the enemy to make us so frustrated at God when all God is doing is putting us in a place that we could experience His grace like we've never done before? That's all he's doing. If we're going to truly experience his grace, if we're going to truly experience his strength, he's going to have to put us in a place where we're going to have to truly rely on him like we've never done before. So we're still having to believe him for that miracle. We're still having to believe him for that healing. But as we sit back and watch him, and we think that life is too much, that'll be those moments that if we keep our faith in Christ, that we will also see God make a way where there literally seemed to be no way possible in my life. Just want to ask you this morning, simple question. Has life become too much? Maybe in reality, spiritually, life's really not too much. It's just that God had to give us a little more so that we would experience his strength a little more. I'm preaching good. And unless he puts us there, I wish it wasn't like this, but sometimes God's got to make us pray. Everything can be going good, but you let the enemy hit your family, and I'll watch as people, you're not going to. I wouldn't say this if I thought that it would reveal anything it didn't need to reveal, but I watched a lady. The enemy hit her family. Family was torn apart. She was a lady that sat back. You wouldn't hardly know that she was there. I'm not judging anybody for that at all. I'm just using this as an example. But she sat back and you didn't even know, hardly know that she was there. In the nick of time, out immediately. Don't really know that she was about. But then God lowered the veil just a little bit, the hedge a little bit. And here came the enemy. And I remember one service, Pastor Brian had preached that service, and he asked me, he said, don't do a prayer line. I'm going to preach on healing. Do it afterwards. I said, okay. But every service, I watched as this lady done exactly as she should and make her way up here and say, pray for my family. I just can't let them go. And at that service, we didn't have a particular prayer line or a call for special needs, but it was for healing. We prayed for those that needed healing that night, and the Lord moved powerfully. And after that, we kind of moved back up here, and I watched as she's standing back there. Pretty well, the service is over. We're about to dismiss. And I watched as she walked up, and she said, I don't care that you didn't give a prayer line for special needs. I'm not leaving till y'all pray for me and pray for my family. And you know what I watched? I'm not promising you anything, so don't take me wrong this morning. But I watched God restore her family. God put her in a place where she had to depend upon his grace like never before. And here's what she found in that dark corner where she never wanted to be. She found that God's grace was greater than she ever experienced in her life. It was greater. As Jesus told Paul, I want to tell you this morning, God's grace is sufficient. And his strength is made perfect in our time of weakness. I don't care this morning, and I don't mean this disrespectful. I don't care if you're a teacher. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're an evangelist. I don't care if you can explain the new covenant better than the Apostle Paul himself. You've not come up to a place in your life where you don't need the grace of God flowing in your heart. And in those moments when you think I'll quit and I'll give up, I want you to know this morning, you've got that option. You can quit. You can give up. You can turn around and walk the other way. Or you can stay and say, God, I'm not going anywhere. And you'll experience the grace of God in a way that you've never experienced it before. My Lord, I feel that this morning. I don't know what you got. Let's hit it.
The hour is dark. hard to see. Lord, what you are doing here in the rooms where this will lead. Oh, but I know down through the years, Lord, I'll look on this moment, see your hand on it, know you were here.
Come on, worship with them.
Lord, and I'll testify of the battles you won, how you were my
come on, worship with us this morning.
The waters you parted, the waves that I walked.
Come on, just let the Lord encourage your heart this morning. You know what? He didn't fail after all. Hallelujah.
Oh, 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 it's a story I'll tell.
Hallelujah.
Singing, oh, 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 I know it is well.
I know it is well. Hallelujah.
Oh, oh, oh.
I want to say this as my altar call, and I want her to jump into that verse. I've been raw and I've been honest with you this morning. I'm going to tell you and be honest. In all honesty, when life becomes too much, you do have the option. You do have the option of throwing in the towel and giving up on the Lord. I wish it wasn't so, but as a free moral agent, that's the truth this morning. But you also have another option. The Apostle Paul had a church at Philippi that just wouldn't quit praying for him. And because the church wouldn't quit praying for him, he just couldn't quit following after the will of God and experiencing the grace of God in a way that he'd never done before. I want you to know this morning, quitting's an option. But another option is this. Why don't you come and let a church that loves you pray for you this morning and keep going and let grace flow upon your heart and your life and experience the grace of God in a way that you've never experienced it before. That's my altar call this morning. Go ahead. Think about
believing
it.
Believing gets hard.
Believing is hard. Hallelujah. What's going to happen? Hallelujah.
I'll look back on this moment, see your hand on it, and know you were here.
Come on, believer, find somebody. Pray for them this morning. We need your help. Hallelujah. Come on, pray one for another. Do the job of a layman. Do the job of the believer. Hallelujah. Come on, even if you're not up here, why don't you pray for those that are up here? Right from your pew, pray for them this morning.
I can't see what you do. I know that you're proving you're the God who comes through. Oh, but I know that over the years,
It's true.
And I can't
something's going to happen this morning, and we're going to rejoice.
Back on this Lord,
I see your hand on it.
By this message, or you need prayer, please email us at faithworshipcenterar@gmail.com.